It's time to wrap up the year like a nice big present, big bottle of wine with a resident wine expert and producer, Cal. Joining us today to wrap up wine chat for the year. I'm taking over Cameron's spot on this one. Cal, how does this feel?
Absolutely terrifying.
Absolutely honestly. Terrifying.
Yeah, yeah. I've never been so nervous before in my entire life. Well, one time, but when we can't talk about that. I don't know.
We can't talk about it on air. No.
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not. Well, look, we're going to be wrapping up some of your favorite wines and also to give us some recommendations for this holiday period, because I'm sure we're going to need some wine.
Yeah,
over the holiday period, and I'm here for it.
Yeah, and then part of this is also, it's like, you know, I usually take quite a scientific lens to a lot of wine on this show, but it's sort of trying to do stuff that's actually a little bit more actionable. A lot of my favorite wines are going to be things that you probably can't easily access because because I'm kind of a bit of a tosser about that stuff. Or not even that, I just get access to weird stuff that... Anyway, we'll cover that later and you'll see what I mean. But, you know, I wanted to sort of position some things that are in that sort of like $25 to $35 category that are, I think, like absolute bargains, really, really good value for money kind of wines. Stuff that you can really comfortably take with you to your Christmas lunches, if you will, or whatever.
Right.
Various holiday celebrations. Maybe something, you know, if you need to impress dad a little bit, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay, so we've got a few categories here then.
We do.
So let's kind of move through the wine categories.
Yeah.
And let's start with a little bit of sparkling. What are your winners for 2025 in sparkling?
Totally. My personal favorite was the 2024 Ancestral Method. This is from the Dorenzo label by Renzaglia. I had the absolute pleasure of getting to drink this wine with Sam, who's the winemaker at Renzaglia, at his winery just outside of Bathurst. And it's always one of those really sort of beautiful experiences to actually be able to enjoy a wine with the person who made it at the place that it got made. And that was a pretty special experience. Sam is an absolute genius, you know, has a really, really good understanding of regenerative viticulture and agricultural sustainability. And I think whilst they've been really well awarded as a red wine producer, specifically with their Cabernets, I think the sparkling is actually really where Renzaglia shines as winery. They've got some upcoming releases of a new traditional method that they haven't made for a few years now, which is looking impeccable. I'm really, really excited about that. But yeah, this is just like, you know, something in that more natural sparkling Pet Nat style that was really, really beautiful to experience and is actually available. This one you can buy. At, you know, any good natural wine.
How much is it going to go for?
I want to say that this retails for... Actually, I might even have it up. I want to say it's about $35, $40 a bottle. You can probably get it cheaper with some Christmas bargains going on. But speaking of bargains...
Yes.
André Delorme. I've definitely mentioned this wine before. So, you know, champagne prices are getting worse every year. But they're kind of terrible this year, honestly. And so trying to find, you know, good quality sparkling that is made in France that isn't going to cost you like $130 is becoming a more of a going concern. So André Delorme, Burgundy producer, they do quite a few different sparklings. Their Cremant de Bourgogne has always been a favorite of mine. You can usually find that for around the $30 to $35 mark. But they also do a Brut Reserve, which is sort of blended from a few other bits and pieces. And I've seen that going for under $20. Like that thing is... absolute banger, value for money, really good quality French sparkling, really well made, dry, clean, crisp, refreshing. The kind of thing where if you say needed to buy a dozen bottles or something to, you know, have like a New Year's Eve party or something like that, that Brut Reserve will really, really go a long way for that kind of thing.
Okay, cool. So that's our sparklings. For white, what was your favorite white wine and what's the best value for money white wine?
Yeah, my favorite white wine I had this year was the 1977 the College Traminer Spat Lazy. This wine's older than probably most people listening to this show right now. CSU, the university I study at, this is one of the original wines in the screw cap trials when they were first figuring out how to make a screw cap work on a bottle of wine. There's very few of these bottles left. This is what I was sort of gesturing towards when I said you probably can't buy this. There's basically one guy I know who has this wine and he doesn't really give them up. But this was from a period where the screw cap worked slightly too well. In the way that it kind of, it sealed the wine off almost too effectively. So it leads to this thing where you have a wine that is almost 50 years old in age. For those who don't know, Traminer is sort of a generic term used for sort of like Riesling and Gewurz and those sort of aromatic white varieties in Australia in the 70s. I believe this is mostly Riesling based, but you know, Spat Lazy, Late Harvest, Off Dry, that kind of thing. But this wine has a freshness and a liveliness to it that is slightly terrifying for how old it, like it looks, it's like the color of Fanta in the glass. Like it is like, it's like slightly murky orange, like it's gnarly to look at. And then you smell it and you're like, I don't know what's going on there. And then you taste it and it is like so fresh and so crisp. It sort of, it shouldn't work, but it really does. And this is one of those wines that I will remember drinking for the rest of my life. Like, it was pretty monumental in that way.
Okay, that's a big favourite. Yeah. What about value for money?
I'm always going to shout out Compinamaru as one of the best value wineries in Australia. You know, if we're talking about sort of Rieslings and stuff in that sort of Alsatian Germanic tradition, the Panopticon Riesling blend, it's a blend of Riesling, Gewurz and Pinot Gris, I believe. You know, comes in this really sexy blue bottle, but is just like absolutely delicious, works great with any kind of seafood you want to throw at it, really clean, crisp, refreshing acid line, but a little bit more body than something like, you know, your Clare or Eden Valley Rieslings, which can be a little tight and a little linear. Once again, like pretty widely available. The Compinamari website is also usually having a sale, and you know, Al and Sam are really, really solid winemakers, and this is definitely one worth checking out, especially if you're more of a seafood focused household, you know.
Okay, so got some sparklings, got some wines. What about your rosé and your chilled reds?
Yeah, so those of you that know me personally know that I'm not a big fan of the Provence style rosé. I don't have a lot of kind words to say about sort of your AIXs and how they've, I would say, change the industry for the worse. But Claude Sabon, which I'm definitely mispronouncing, but they're one of the few sort of premier cru wineries that exist in the Provence region. And Tabourin is one of those sort of ancient grapes that they basically rescued from extinction. They make quite a few wines, but specifically their Tabourin Rosé, I think, is a masterclass in what the actual potential is for making rosé-style wines. This wine is nervous. It's tensile. It has incredible precision, but it's also just, like, delicious and refreshing and delightful and really playful. And I think it sort of shows that sort of, especially when you compare it to some of those more commercially produced, like, you know, very pale pink-style rosés, which tend to just be sort of cold, slightly refreshing water, you're sort of missing so much of the potential of the space. And I think, you know, I'm not saying everyone should rush out and go get this. It is out there. It will cost you a bit of money. But if you ever actually see even just the closer bon, like regular rosés, I think they're really worth checking out just to get a better understanding of what this space could even look like. And then in terms of value for money, shout outs to Nomad's Garden, a little King Valley-based winery. Pinot Meunier is sort of the red-headed cousin of Pinot Noir. It's not quite as well-liked, you know, it's never gotten quite as popular. But I think it still makes some really, really exceptional wines. Has this sort of, and this is a chilled red, I should specify, but is sort of like, has this beautiful sort of like blood orange, you know, slightly savory herbaceousness to it. Really refreshing acidity. Can really be drunk at any temperature, but on a hotter summer day, like get that thing in an esky for a little bit, you know, get it nice and cold. But like a really, really refreshing example of it that I think is less on that sort of more natty, acid-driven, slightly vinegary spectrum, which I think, or super plush spectrum that I think is starting to really dominate a lot of those chilled reds. This thing is a little bit more finessed and is a little bit more pulled back and a little bit more precise in what it does, and I think is a really great example of the style.
Brilliant. Cal, we've got 1 minute left. Oh my God. So let's get your reds in for this last minute. Ready?
Yeah.
Go.
Okay. Rip On. Best producer in Tasmania, in New Zealand. I'm not even debating that anymore. Tinkersfield 2018 Pinot Noir. This is the closest thing we have to Burgundy in the Southern Hemisphere. If you see a bottle of Rip On Pinot Noir, buy it. It will cost you too much money. I don't care. Buy it. It is maybe one of the best value Pinot Noirs on the planet right now. Like I said, I think this is the closest thing we have in the Southern Hemisphere to real Burgundy. In terms of best value, we're talking about the Duke's single vineyard Cabernet Sauvignon. This is from the Prongerups in WA. Ben Kane has recently taken over the winemaking there as of 3 or 4 years ago. This wine's pretty dad core, you know? Like, it is... It's big, it's bold, it's got, you know, those cigar box overtones and a nice chocolatey finish and all that kind of thing. And Cabernet isn't particularly cool anymore, but I think this is a really great example of why Western Australian Cabernet can be such a powerhouse, because it has, whilst it is really generous, it's not overbearing, it's not aggressively alcoholic, it's not too punchy or anything like that. And this is definitely, I think, a thing you can give to any white male over the age of 50, and they will enjoy. Like, I will say that pretty much without reservation. But it's also just like a really great example of sort of these heavier weight reds that I think is a style that is somewhat falling out of favor, but is really due for a reappraisal right now.
Well, that's a pretty big powerhouse performance right there. And that's all the time we've got for this roundup for the year. So, Cal, thank you so much for your expertise.
Thank you.
And have a lovely 2026 holiday experience.
You too, Jack.